Welcome to the Hall of Fame, brought to you by One Truck America. That's onetruck.us. We have a great episode. We're going to talk a little bit about autonomous driving with Ease Logistics. But before we get to that, remember, I always like to give you a quick industry update. We added this now, I think maybe four or five episodes ago, and you guys totally enjoy it. As everyone know, there have been quite a bit of trade tariff wars going on, started by President Trump, hoping for good results, and we've seen some great results so far. But I think the biggest one is the China. China tariffs have got to 145%, and now we have settled to a deal for 90 days. So basically, everything we sell to them, 10% tariff, we pay China. Everything they sell to us, a 30% China, 30% tariff. And that is great, because I think the amount of money that we will gain from that is enormous. And then it will also level the playing field to give some people something to think about. Do you manufacture that in the U.S.? So I think that's actually a good deal. They've actually made a deal with Norway. I think they made a deal with Britain. So some of that's settling down. Now, the reason I brought up China, because China probably affects the West Coast ports the most. As you can see, LA and Long Beach have been dying. So hopefully this will spur some traffic back. I think we'll see some traffic. We may see a surge in traffic because people are wondering if will there be a problem after 90 days. I don't think there will be, but again, I don't know. But I think it was important for me to bring that to your attention. There are also supposedly a peace deal in the Suez Canal with the Houthis. But as I said that, the President Trump had said they have reached a peace accord. We had a jamming of a MSC, Mediterranean Shipping Lines, container carrier on the 10th. So I'm not sure if that peace deal is holding or not. But obviously, they want to clear the Suez Canal because it's such an important airway, a pathway for Europe, and definitely a pathway for some things coming from Africa and some other nations to the U.S. So it's important. Now domestically, we saw a drop in inflation, and we haven't really seen a huge recovery in trucking yet. But again, with some of these things coming to terms, hopefully we'll start to see a recovery going towards the end of the year. So with that said, let's join Abby from Ease Logistics as she talk about her project on the I-70 corridor and running platooning trucks all the way to Indy from Columbus. Let's go. Welcome to the Hall of Fame podcast. We have a great guest from Ease Logistics. Out of Ohio, they're going to talk a little bit about autonomous driving. Abby, let me give you an opportunity to introduce yourself so we can get started. Abby?
Hi, Ken. Thanks. So excited to be here. I'm Abby Fela, EVP from Ease Logistics. As Ken said, based in Columbus, Ohio, Ease is a full-service logistics provider. We specialize in everything logistics, transportation, warehousing, and integrated.
Great. Well, how we got here is I actually stumbled onto your I-70 platoon and autonomous truck project, and I wrote an article about it, just the one I had on the web. Then we had a conversation, and I dug a little deeper, wrote another article, which is on One Truck America. But now I really want you to explain to our audience, because we have a lot of audience that would rather watch or listen to our podcast while driving. So I'd like for you to just talk me through how you, a little bit of your background, because I think you're working with the government helped you to get some of these grants, and then walk me through the start of the project and how it's evolved. And the ball is yours.
Sure. Thanks. I love that people like to listen to it. We definitely don't want them reading your wonderful articles while they're driving. All about safety over here, Ken. So.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that. So my background is really in strategy and innovation. Some say human performance. I just say people, connecting people, understanding people, building programs for people. And that's really what I did when I joined Ease Logistics about 4 years ago. We started thinking about, Ease has always been an innovative company. We say innovation happens in the small things and the big things. So from our 2-minute response time, our CEO, Peter, says, because 1 minute would just be crazy and 3 minutes is too long. So from the way we communicate with our customers to the big things like, how do we change the industry through autonomous trucks and platooning trucks like we're doing now? So started seeking out kind of what our state here in Ohio was doing and where EASE could get involved, and made some great connections over with the Ohio Department of Transportation and Drive Ohio here in Ohio. And they had put out an RFP for a fleet host partner to test some new autonomous technology a couple of years ago that was actually built by Bosch. And they were looking for a fleet partner to get involved and actually run that on revenue generating routes in rural Ohio, really to test out those roadways, road readiness. How does this technology act on those rural hilly spaces in southern Ohio without the great markings that we might have on some of our bigger interstates? So we got started there, did that deployment with Bosch Technology, like I said, and our great partners here in the state of Ohio, really just about data collection, road readiness. And some of our universities here provided some feedback on that. Drive Ohio then put out a second RFP that allowed us to look at it a little bit differently, where they wanted people to come to them with the technology ready to go, or a technology partner, and really build it from the ground up. And that's where we are now in our second deployment of platooning trucks. It is called the I-70 project. It's running between Columbus, Ohio and Indianapolis, Indiana. So it is a partnership between Ohio Department of Transportation, Indiana Department of Transportation, Drive Ohio, ourselves as the host fleet partner. And then we partnered with a technology company called Kratos Defense, who has a phenomenal background, and we're really proud to be testing out their technology.
Okay. If you, so in the second iteration, you actually looked at several people before picking Kratos, right? Tell me a little bit about that process. I don't need to know who else you looked at. I don't want to, but just tell me about that process.
Sure. I mean, we know there are brilliant companies out there looking at this space and currently running operations. We talked to a couple of different companies, some of which were those full service providers who build the technology in their trucks and then operate out of their trucks. And then some of those who would build into our trucks. And the reason we decided to partner with Kratos is, one, they have vehicle agnostic technology, which meant we could equip our current vehicles with this technology. It also has been tested for years with the Department of Defense. Kratos has really been perfecting what they're doing, and it's been tested over time in all sorts of weather. And in all sorts of terrain. And that was really important to us, is most of the testing that we see or the deployments really happen in the Sun Belt and down, right? In southern states. And they talk about us up here in the northern half of the country when we run into rain, snow, ice, all of that inclement weather that we need to be able to operate in as truck drivers on the road still needing to deliver every day. And this technology had been tested. So just looking at it from the vehicle agnostic standpoint and something that had already been tested in other parts of the country made us really confident in what we were going to do with Kratos.
Yeah, something else that jumped out to me when I was talking to you Monday or Tuesday is I think people are going to autonomous trucks saying, okay, you're going to buy this truck and it's going to have it already in it. But your technology, you can retrofit. I think that's important because when you think about a smaller fleet, let's say a 20 truck person, 100 trucks, is, and I'd like to retrofit a couple of my fleets. And I think that's important. Can you talk a little bit about that versus just you have to buy X truck and it has to be a 2026 or 2025 that you, the retrofitting part of it. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think it's so important as we look to really change the industry at a bigger scale or change how we think about autonomy. And I want to be clear, our trucks are autonomous, but not driverless. They are smart trucks, but there are still drivers behind the seats in this deployment in both of the trucks. But as we look at some of those smaller fleets, and here at EASE, we didn't want to invest in brand new trucks. We have great, beautiful trucks that we already lease and own. And for us, make that investment in new trucks just didn't make sense for our operation. So it makes a lot more sense for us to have this technology that we can put into trucks and retrofit them for these applications. And when we look at other drivers and fleets across the country, most of us who are moving freight are smaller operations. We don't have hundreds and hundreds of trucks or want to add that to our fleet, but we might want to retrofit some of our vehicles that we currently have and own for this technology to use it. And as I think about future state, I also think, you know, if we were to move to all brand new trucks, what happens to all those old trucks, right? What is our plan as a country to do with all of these old trucks that still have a lot of life on them, right? Are we just going to truck graveyard somewhere? So for me, you know, I want, and the great thing is that these trucks still operate as usual as well. So our drivers can run them as a normal truck, or they can turn the technology on. Mm-hmm. So it is really enhancing our fleet instead of replacing it.
I like that. Hey, roughly, we're going to talk about this. How many times have you ran that cord? Is it like 100? How many times have you ran them?
Just as a, we run it multiple times a day.
So you're running this thing multiple times a day.
Okay. We are now this deployment, we only have two trucks in our platooning deployment right now. Mm-hmm. So these trucks are running almost every day. Obviously they can only go Indy and back in one, you know, one time in a day, to make sure we stay in our hours, which is another thing I want to get to, but, we're running these trucks once a day. Ease in general runs this many, many times.
Obviously. Okay. Well, the first driver is driving, the second driver, he's behind the wheel. Correct. What is he doing? But is he paying attention? Is he doing other things? Talk to me what does the second driver looks like? What does that look like today?
Sure. So this platooning technology, just to go back a little bit.
Go back and explain.
Yeah. Let me go back. So the driver in the lead vehicle is driving as normal. Yes. He has technology through, you know, all the radar systems and is communicating with the vehicle behind him. Who can be a far distance away. There can be cars or other trucks in between them. They will still communicate as long as there's not a big hill or something where they lose line of sight. If they have line of sight, they are communicating. That second truck is following, mirroring exactly what that first truck is doing, taking into account the roadway around that truck and the passenger vehicles around that truck at the time and making adjustments as necessary. Currently, when we are in platooning mode in this deployment, that second driver is always paying attention and ready to take over, even though his hands may not be on the wheel at that particular time if the technology is going. But he is alert. He is making corrections. He is taking control as soon as he needs to. Now, when we talk about future state, where Ease believes, you know, this could make a really big impact for our industry is, think about when you have a team load right now that needs to go across the country. What happens if we now have a set of team drivers who can be in two different trucks, but that second driver is actually off the clock? He's resetting his hours of service. He or she is getting some rest. He or she is now upskilling and acting as their own manager or dispatcher and booking future things. So how do we upskill that driver to be doing things while they do not need to be behind the wheel in future state? Or now we have the ability to reset hours while we are driving across the country and make a switch. And it allows our drivers to get the rest that they need without maxing out their hours of service. And it allows our freight shipments to move more quickly.
I think that's what jumped out to me the most is what you could do. Because everyone knows hours of service, but if you only drive 10 and then you switch and the next guy drives 10 and he takes 10, those two trucks are constantly moving. They could move from Columbus to California. Okay, that's great. I think that is a huge, huge plan when you talk about teaming in the future and what it will look like and why platooning still has a driver in control. The second driver can go in his bunk and things of that nature. Let me ask you a question. So I know the guy is sitting in the chair watching the drive-in, but on a trip, does he ever really need to touch the steering wheel? I want to know how far along are we here? All right, let me do it. If there's 100 trips, how many trips will he need to touch or affect something that the technology failed on? I guess that's the best way to ask it. If you can trip, I don't know if you can or not.
Well, so we just went into run mode with this, let's call it 2 weeks where we've actually been in run. So we've been testing it in a crawl, walk, run scenario, right? Our drivers had 260 hours of training, and then we looked at the roadways, we ran it as we normally would without using the platooning mode. So we haven't been running this deployment very long to give you some great stats.
Okay, that's fine.
What I will tell you is, the technology is smart enough that if we were to turn it on the entire time, it could go from beginning to end without the driver touching the wheel. In this, you know, it can merge, it can stop and slow down, and it can speed up and all of those things. In this deployment, we have very limited scope where we have to be on that 70 corridor. We have to have a safe platooning distance. We have to be operating not in any sort of rural areas or residential areas, correct? And so we'll turn it on. So we'll see less miles actually collected in data in full platooning mode just because of the limitations of the
when project. You can turn it on.
Yeah, of when we can turn it on. But so far in our testing in platooning mode, there has not been a time where something has happened with the technology that has caused a driver to have to take over. It has been at the driver's discretion. They're feeling like I should take over now because this car next to me is acting funny, or I don't know if we're getting too far away or something in those circumstances has happened.
And is that more just a driver control problem versus a technology problem?
Sure. I mean, it's brand new. I think it's innate in us to get nervous, right? Like, yeah. Oh gosh, I'm going to let me take over because I want to steer. I think even if we look at Waymos without steering wheels, if you've ever been in one of those and you're like, if something happens, where do you I grab?
I can't take over.
So I think as time goes on and our drivers get more comfortable, and rely on the technology more, we will see less of that hands-on. But right now, the number one thing is we want our drivers to be comfortable. We want them to feel safe. And if at any point in platooning mode, they are feeling like I need to take over, that gut reaction is what we want them to do.
Okay. So let me ask you one question. Is the platooning only going to be turned on? I'm very familiar with Ohio and Indiana. Only going to be turned on once you get to I-70, or is it turned off on the exit when you get into the highway and off the highway?
Currently, it is only turned on I-70. Our drivers have instructions when they are entering the highways and exiting the highways. It is to go off, and that is completely manual control.
Okay. Wow. I think that's very, very interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any other, is there anything else about the program that we should know? Because I think you filled in quite a fill of blank. Is there anything else you tell me that I've missed that you want to tell me?
No, I mean, the only thing I wanted to talk about was just the safety of this, not just in this deployment, but like, as we look at autonomous trucking, it's scary for passenger vehicles to think about a giant vehicle weighing that much next to them without a human, right? But we work very closely with the Ohio State Highway Patrol and the Indiana State Highway Patrol on this, and they have given us some great stats about reaction time of people versus technology. And the reality is that when this technology is enabled, it will react before the human brain can even process what's happening. And when we look at crashes involving trucks or passenger vehicles, when we look at the unfortunate fatalities that happen on our roadways, technology like this makes us so much smarter and so much safer. I worry more about people on their phones all day than I do about the autonomous vehicles getting into accidents, because they are reacting in milliseconds where the human brain can't even process that and begin to react yet. So I think just education around what this technology means for us on our roadways is so important.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine after the article came out. They were very concerned. And I'm like, I said, what do you, I pulled the numbers. I was trying to find it while you were talking. And I want to say the number was, there were about 300 accidents with a tractor trailer a day. Okay. A day. And I was trying to tell them, I'd annualize it out. God, I wish I had a number in front of me. And we were just going through. I said, and most of that is coming from fatigue, inattention, things of that nature that I think you would eliminate with autonomous driving. So I do think there is a lot of great things with autonomous. I think people have to get around the idea that 80,000 pound truck is doesn't have a driver behind it. But yeah. I think the tests like Waymo and that's going on in Phoenix and some of those tests are good because people are seeing just the amount of less accidents they're having when compared to their peers, which is a car being driven by a driver. So sure. Yes,
we hear about the accidents more when they involve technology. Correct.
That's why
you'll hear about it because it's new.
Yeah.
And even in passenger vehicles, right? Those are always news story highlights. But to your point, the reality is there are so many accidents happening on our roadways every single day with people behind the wheel. And the technology like this to augment what we're doing and make everyone safer, I think, is very important. And then the other thing, Ken, that I think is just important to address is the conversation around jobs. And is this technology going to take driver jobs? And I think you gave me some great stats about the current age of our drivers and the shortage that we anticipate having. And when I look at technology like this, I think it not only will augment the driver shortage that we anticipate coming over the next handful of years, but it gives our drivers the opportunity to learn in a platooning mode like this, where we're going to have drivers. It's giving them the opportunity to learn something new and to upskill themselves and to be able to do more.
Yeah. When you look back, what she's referring to, I did a presentation, I think in 2010, 2011, and the average age of a driver was around 43. And now it's about 50, maybe 51. And we've done a million things to attract drivers. We're just not attracting them. So there's going to be a time that we are not going to have enough drivers. And I think at that point, you can start augmenting them. We're not displacing any drivers. Mm-mm. People are choosing not to be drivers. And we ran every program in 2012, 13 to attract drivers. I remember we were hiring drivers and training them. If you were a veteran, we'd hire you, train you, pay for it. And that's when we're normally hiring guys with 2 years experience. But if you're a military, we'll train you, put you through a program. Every program and everyone were running these programs, and we still did not change that number. So we can't control. People are not choosing this job, especially if you have to have an OTR job. Say you have loads from Columbus to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. No one wants that job. If you have a job where you're just bumping around Ohio, going to Cleveland and back, drop down to Cincinnati, go to Dayton, great. You're back every night. You can find someone to do that job. When you tell someone he's driving to Omaha, Nebraska, and then from Nebraska, he's maybe going to Louisiana, it's a tougher sell. It's a tough sell.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping this technology helps us recruit new, interested, young drivers into the market, right? Like it is not just our grandfather's truck driving anymore, as we like to say, right? There's such cool technology in these vehicles. And I'm really hoping that maybe I don't want to run Columbus to Phoenix every night, but if I'm doing it in a team and I get to see this new technology working and
I do other things, you know what I mean? It's still moving. From a
maybe
driver,
I'm also a YouTube star. I don't know.
From a driver point of view, if his truck is still moving, and I don't know how we compensate all of that, but if his truck is still moving, and he only has to drive half the time, maybe at a lower rate when he's not driving, man, that becomes pretty interesting to drivers. You know what I mean? That becomes a very interesting proposition. So I think there's a lot of upside to it. Hey, listen, thank you. I love what you guys are doing. Ohio is like your second home. I lived in Columbus for 3 years.
Yes, come visit us.
I will. Trust me. Next time I'm in Columbus, I'm stopping by. I know where you guys are in Dublin. I have a buddy that lives in Tarn. We'll hit that another time. But hey, in closing, I want to give you an opportunity to say anything in closing. Thank you for being here. And Abby, I'll give you one last shot. Anything else you want to say about Ease?
Thanks. No, thanks, Ken. Appreciate you highlighting this. We're really proud of what we do, but it's not just about innovation. We do the normal things day to day too, and move goods from A to B all over the country. So feel free to look us up. Give us a shout if we can help you with any of your logistics needs.
And guys, we'll have Ease Logistics website at the bottom of the pod so you can get it. It's also on our webpage and it'll be on our post on LinkedIn. So thank you, and for being on the Hall of Fame. Have a great day. Thank you.